big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Well, hello, all you beautiful cyclists. As you can probably tell, this is not Anthony, it's Sarah. And I'm back with a bonus Saturday podcast where I delve a little bit deeper into being a newbie cyclist and I impart some of the wisdom that I wish I had known when I started cycling. So this week, I want to give you a kind of comprehensive list on what I, as a newbie, bring out on a ride with me. Now, I know I'm probably going to jinx myself by saying this, but I've been really lucky with not having anything go too wrong on me while I'm out training, which is really fortunate because I train a lot on my own, so I do need to be self-sufficient. In fact, the only time I ever got a puncture was in Colombia going down a descent, and I'd never had a puncture before. And I'd been riding a good while at this stage, like I was on a cycling holiday, so I wasn't new to the bike. And I remember asking Anthony, how would I know if I punctured? And of course, typical Anthony, he just kind of said, oh, you'll know. So that wasn't very helpful, but I didn't really know what to expect. And I had built it up in my head. I had this fear of puncturing. So there I was descending in sunny Colombia, and I absolutely loved descending. So I was having the time of my life. I wouldn't be what you call a natural climber, but I loved descending. And then I just heard a pop, and all of a sudden my bike was a tiny bit harder to handle. So for anyone that hasn't had a puncture before, it's not a big dramatic blowout and you lose control of your machine. You go careering off the side of whatever mountain you're on. There's flames and a rescue mission. It's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. It's just a pop and then you can roll to the side of the road and change your tube. So very, very drama-free. But we are a superstitious lot, us cyclists. We hate talking about having mechanicals or puncturing or crashing. In fact, when I crashed a few months ago, I was having a deep conversation about crashing with the girl beside me, Gabby. So that just proved to me the power of the jinx. And even in races, you'll see the World Tour riders and all the levels below that. If a rider is designated the number 13, they will wear the number upside down. I don't know if you have noticed that, but even if you do everything right and you wear your lucky socks and you wave at every magpie you see and you avoid riding on Friday the 13th, you will eventually need some of the kit that I'm about to list. Now, Anthony's going to kill me because you're not going to find a chain breaker or a power link on this list, because bringing those items would be a complete waste of time considering I don't know what they are or how to use them. So if something happens to my chain or something a bit serious happens mechanically wise on my bike, I'll be calling my mom, good on you, Nora, or Anthony, or sometimes Anthony's dad, Hugh. He's good for a lift as well. And I'm completely shameless about that and I've no pride or ego around it. I will happily take a lift. And I'll happily give a lift. So if anyone's ever stuck, pop me an email. So here is my list of items I won't leave the house without when I'm going for a spin. Number one, food. Now you hear me banging on every single week about making sure that you bring food and that you're eating on the bike all of the time. Even if you're just going out for a short spin, bring some food with you. Just in case something happens, you could decide, oh, it's an absolutely amazing day, feck it, I'm in no rush home, I'm going to go and do an extra couple of hours, my legs feel great, and you have a bit of food in your pocket. Amazing. You might get held up because you have a puncture or your buddy has a puncture. And if you have no food, your glycogen levels are getting depleted as the minutes tick by. And this is when the dreaded knock can set in. And it, I can tell you, it's not a pleasant place to be. The other thing I see a lot with people that I'm coaching at the minute, my newbies, shout out to everybody, is that some of them want to lose weight. And they feel that when they're in the bike training, that this is the time to starve themselves. So they go out for an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and they feel that this is the time to get into a calorie deficit. But that's completely wrong. When you're on the bike, you need to fuel yourself for performance. So please bring some food, gel, banana, dates, and as you all know, my own, I have a penchant for Turkish delight. 2, bring your phone. Now, I know a lot of people are getting out on their bike and they want to avoid their phones. They want to avoid emails and notifications. But your phone is like a modern day flare, except way better than a flare, because it can not only tell someone where you are, but you can use it to pay for a taxi if you're stuck, or for food if you didn't listen to my first point. So just stick it in a small Ziploc bag. And if you realize a couple of minutes after leaving the house that you've forgotten your phone, go back for it. It'll be worth it, particularly if you're riding on your own that day. Like in life, there's etiquette around phones. Don't pull it out at a coffee stop and start flicking around on Instagram. Be sociable. Don't pull it out to take millions of photos and selfies as you're riding along. Don't ride along in a group and take videos. Trust me, your bike handling skills are not that advanced, even if you believe they are. If you really want a video of the group, ask one of the more senior members of the group to take a video of you all. But do this at your own peril, because you will probably be met with a massive eye roll and told to F off. Number 3, tubes, levers and a pump. Or a CO2 canister. I've never used a CO2 canister, so I have no experience with these. Apparently they're brilliant, but I'm an old school girl. And we need to learn how to use these, so don't depend on anyone else to help with these. Get comfortable with changing a tube. Anthony gives me a hard time in the podcast about not knowing how to change a tube, but I can. So I know how to get myself out of trouble. If you don't know how to use them, still bring the equipment with you, because someone will help you, but they're helping you. So why would you also ask to use their tube and their levers and their pump? So bring the stuff with you. Number 4, bidons. Do you know what a bidon is? A bidon is a fancy cycling term for a water bottle. So bidon, I'm not quite sure which is the correct pronunciation of it, but I did go into the local bike shop recently and ask for a bidon, and your man looked at me like I had 10 heads, so I was like, water bottles? But I promise you, that is the word that cyclists use for a water bottle. So you need to be drinking 500 milliliters per hour when you're on the bike. If you don't drink a sup of water for your entire training session, you'll get through it. More than likely you will, unless it's very, very warm. You might start cramping. But when you're really going to feel the effects of dehydration is in your recovery. So you're going to have more fatigue, you'll have cramping, and the next day you won't be ready to get back on that bike again. So hydration, hydration, hydration. Number 5, bring a really light raincoat or a gilet. So picture this, you wake up in the morning, you're going out with your buddies and there is not a cloud in the sky. The sun is going to be splitting the stones all day. It's perfect weather. Still, pop that raincoat or gilet into your pocket with you and you will thank me when you are sitting at the coffee shop and you're feeling a little breeze, or you're going down a descent, or if you puncture and you're getting a little bit cold fixing the puncture, or you're waiting on a buddy. You will not regret bringing this really light piece of kit. So number 6 is a multi-tool. Now, I know I said I wasn't going to bring a chain breaker or anything complicated. A multi-tool will get you out of so many instances where you could be into trouble. So like, let's say your cleat is loose, or your saddle needs to be adjusted, or you've got a shaky handlebar, or your pedals are a little bit loose. A multi-tool will help you solve all these issues there and then. So definitely get one of those. They're really inexpensive. You can buy them everywhere online. Number 7 is take some ID with you and scribble on that ID the number of your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or the person that should be contacted in case of an emergency. Not to freak you guys out or anything, in the highly unlikely event that something is going to happen, it's just really convenient for somebody to be able to contact your loved one. The conundrum now is, how do you carry all of this stuff but still look cool? Yeah, it will all fit in your pockets, I promise you, but it won't look cool. It's just going to look very, very strange. So if you want to look sleek, what I would do is just put your phone and the things you absolutely need as you're riding along in your jersey pockets. So your food and your phone maybe, and maybe your pump peeking out at the top of your pocket. I think that looks kind of cool. Consider getting a saddlebag. And you'll get your tube and your levers and probably your multi-tool in there. And as the name suggests, it goes under the saddle. Now, you can get bags for your top tube but I think they look a little bit naff and the saddlebags are more legit. Or you can go old school with using your bidon, i.e. your water bottle, to carry your tube and your levers and your multi-tool. So you will need two bottle cages for this on your bike, and you will get an old bidon, and about a quarter of the way down, you cut the hole around outside of the bidon, and then you put your pump, your tubes, your multi-tool, etc. in there and put it into your bottle cage. This is really old school. It's really cool. The pros still do this. So I have a saddlebag, but I'm thinking of changing to this system myself. I think it looks awesome. You could also get a handlebar bag, but I don't know. I don't think I'm cool enough for a handlebar bag yet. Anthony has one. They're very hipster. They're kind of cool. But I just feel like I'm way too much of a noob to pull a handlebar bag off. And if you are thinking of getting a backpack, don't do it. Leave backpacks and hydration packs to the mountain bikers, okay? Promise me. Okay, so that's what I bring on my ride. That's how I transport my kit. Thank you everybody for listening. I hope you found this helpful. Don't forget, if you have any questions, to send them to me at sarah@roadmancycling.com. Or if you have any other suggestions or something that I've missed, or if you have any complaints, send those to Anthony. And I will chat to you guys next week. So safe pedaling this weekend, all you beautiful cyclists. Mwah. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Have you ever wondered how good you could actually be? Each of us has a unique set of circumstances with work, family, and social obligations, but we all still want to fulfill our potential in cycling. Okay, maybe you won't ever win the Tour de France, but for most of us, this is what cycling is about. So let us build you the perfect training plan around your lifestyle that's totally unique to you and will help you finally realize your cycling dreams. So whether you're just getting started on the bike or if you're a more seasoned cyclist, we have a suitable coach for you. So why not schedule a call with us and we can have a chat about how we can help you go further than you ever dreamed of in your cycling and fitness goals. Go to roadmancycling.com/contact or pop me an email directly to sarah@roadmancycling.com.